open our Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm taking a topic this morning that I titled The Cross, the Symbol of Our Faith. In our hymn 146, the chorus there says, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart roll away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the way. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18 is our text. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish. What? What is it to them? Foolishness. But unto us. Who are the us? Can I see your hand? Oh, glory be to God. But unto us which are saved, the preaching of the cross is what? Is the power of God. I love it. I love to read the epistles of Apostle Paul. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When you carry your Bible and you are, there are decisions you have made, especially in this modern day of worldliness, worldly fashions, and you decide not to go with the world in their fashion and decide to go the way you are going, when the people of the world look at you, they see you as a foolish sister. You see? Hallelujah. You do your business and you refuse to do it the way unbelievers do their kru-kru corner-corner. To them, they are making money more than you. And to them, you are foolish. You see? Amen. And there are some of us that had associates, friends out there, classmates and coursemates out there. We were all there before, enjoying, in quotes, the kind of useless lifestyle that they live out there. Leave your wife at home and carry women outside. And when you see them discussing, when you see them making caricature, to them it's fun. Fun. I was in Abuja recently and I told some of you one day, I said, one of them, one of our classmates, a general, retired, and then he was having a Thanksgiving something. We were there. And in the hotel where we were lodged, we were there by the poolside, and we were, so some of them retired generals too. And then we were on the table there, and suddenly, one came and joined us, and he was coming with a girl that could as well be the age of his daughter. That is the one he traveled all the way from where he was coming from to spend that weekend with in that hotel. And suddenly, we were choking. And a phone call came, and then he said they were making some caricature, and said it's Mumu one. I said, what do you mean by that? He said that one of his girlfriends, another general, one of his girlfriends stored his number in her phone, and the name he stored there is Mumu one. That young girl has Mumu 1, Mumu 2, Mumu 3, Mumu 4. He is Mumu number 1. Of course you are Mumu. And that was the kind of lifestyle we were living there before. Mumu, and we didn't know. We thought we were enjoying. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And now, and suddenly we turned our back to that nonsense. When we had an experience of what the real life is. And some of them think it is because we are no more in the service. That is why we decided out of frustration to carry Bible and we are now preaching. To them out there, it is foolishness. But to us that are saved, the preaching of the cross is what? The power of God. The power of God. Romans 1:16, he said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto what? Salvation. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. For the just shall live by faith." That's what Apostle Paul said. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Anywhere I am, I go. I want to declare that I am saved from the destruction that is coming upon this world. Well, the inspiration for this message came when recently I was here at the altar and suddenly, you know, the Lord was showing me a pillar of fire came, a pillar like that of like a pole of fire came, then turned to the sign of a cross, broke to the sign of a cross, suddenly changed again, move another side, change to the sign of a cross, move again, change to the sign of a cross. But there was no message following that revelation. And days after, I was still meditating upon it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I was sitting in my room and the Lord began to grant me understanding. And that is what I put down as an exhortation this morning, believing that it will help somebody to know that we are traveling on the right way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The symbol of our faith. The symbol of our faith is the cross. Hallelujah. If you look at the cross is also a mathematical sign of what? Plus. Amen. When you come to the cross, amen, there is no minus. Hallelujah. It is a plus. The opposite of plus is minus. We are all condemned to death, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Hallelujah. But God came and put, we are all minus, condemned. They don't condemn person like this. How do they condemn? You will hear, you are condemned. If you want to tell somebody it's finished, what is the sign you do with your hand? Do you do like this? But when somebody is standing, he stands like this. But if he says, "You are finished," he don't finish. Finish. Ah, the whole world, we are finished. Until that man of Calvary came from heaven to earth, from up and crossed that minus. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And gave us a plus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And so that cross that we see, what does it symbolize? Four things. Number one, hallelujah. It symbolizes the reconciliation between God and man. The cross. Hallelujah. God came down from heaven and identified with our sorrows. came down. I don't know if somebody is catching my hand. Came that we are finished, dead. But he came down from heaven and identified with our problem. He crossed our problems. Hallelujah. Amen. He removed the minus. He turned the minus to plus. By that action, he reconciled us back to him. Through the cross, God and man, we are reconciled. William Branham put it this way. When he was describing what happened on the day of the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ. I read that message. He spent more than 5 pages of that sermon book. All he was emphasizing, almost repeating himself in one way or the other. He was so excited over it. He said, that day is the most important day in the history of mankind. That was the day that God stepped from eternity to time. That was the day God and man were united. When the Spirit of God came down from heaven like a dove into that man, as the Lord Jesus Christ came out of the water, came into him, that was the day, hallelujah, the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in him. For it pleased the Father that in him, Jesus, should all fullness of God dwell. And then he shouted, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And from that day, Matthew chapter 17, in the Mount Transfiguration, he said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He said, hear ye him. And from that day, Jesus said, I and my Father are one. If you see me, you see my Father. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He became God's meeting point with man. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The symbol of the cross. Because without the remission, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. The sin that separated us from God was settled on the cross of Calvary. Hallelujah. These are the things I meditate on that I know that the statement of Jesus Christ that no man cometh to the Father except by me. It's true, and it rises up all other religions. And the time is going to come, I'm telling you, that you will not preach anything other than love, love, we are one. We are one. We are Guru Maharaj, we are one. Olumba is your brother, we are one. Hare Krishna is the same God, we are one. And pastors, we preach it, we are one. So that they won't have problem. If not, they will close the church. There's freedom of association. But every association must be registered with the government. Can't you see? So they still have the rope. They say there's freedom, but they still put a caveat there. So, you know, hallelujah. When this ministry started, and then a pastor was setting us up because his own sister stopped worshiping with him and was coming to us here. And then he decided to say, because we are small, we have no place of worship, we are using one back here somewhere. And then he went and wrote a report to Panti. I don't know how many of you remember that day. To Panti. That is one occultic place. Somewhere in Mafoluku. And there was something there. And then his sister came there. I think Boboye also. Boboye took her for prayers. And now, He said his sister is missing. And that the place he went, now this church, and that he don't disappear. They don't take and do occultic things. And that day, we were having communion service. When CID from Spanty, they said they had been coming there and parading that place for a few days to see those people. The day we were now going to gather now, and they came. But you saw how God vindicates. They stayed there. They were waiting to see what was happening. They saw the power of God roar. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It was after service. Just one of our members, that was a policeman, said he saw some people that sat there. He says like they are CID. He came and told me. I said, what do you concern? Maybe they call worship. I'll not be criminal. Why I remember the story is, well, after the service that day, they had been given money. They had been, you know what they do. They have to work for who sent them come. But there was something the man told me as we were going, because we took communion day too. They took it that day. Three policemen with one inspector, they took our communion. They saw God roar. Hallelujah. And he told me, he said, Pastor, I hope the church is registered. He said, if it is not registered, that is where there will be trouble. He said, because the petition when they write is serious. But we have freedom of association. Why are you telling me I must register? You see? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I quickly told him, I say, I'm an educated man. We are registered. Take us go anywhere. And so we are saying some things now, because we have the privilege to say them now. One of these days, you won't hear these things. I am telling you, William Branham said it as far back as early 60s. 61, 62. He kept saying it, that the time is going to come when they will not allow us to preach unless they give you a license. And church, there is a bill going on in the Nigerian Senate now. The Senate has some rep. It's going on now that before anybody will be allowed to preach, he should be given a license. According to them, so that they will monitor the fanatics. So that if they tag you a fanatic preacher, then they can remove your license. Then you cannot preach again. Of course, in the U.S., you cannot preach until you have a license. Praise God. And so and it's not everybody that will give license. I want you to note this thing. In Russia, there is the only recognized church there is called the Russian Orthodox Church. Any denomination that wants to start a church there, you can only be recognized if you receive recommendation from the Orthodox headquarters. So they have to find out which is your denomination. What do you stand for? Why are you affiliated with? Are you a member of the Christian Association of your country? If not, no, we can't recommend you. And you cannot gather. It's already happening. And don't say it cannot happen in Nigeria. This country, anything happen anywhere, will be copy. It must happen here. I'm telling you this thing. Church, when I left the Ikoyi prison, I started the prison ministry known as the West African Prison Outreach. WAPO. There's no prison in this country I did not visit. On the West African coast. We're going there distributing books and things like that. And in the Ikoyi prison, anytime I land, all other churches that come into that yard, we close. Everybody will come and gather. And I was teaching them things that other churches coming, we are having problem with them. One day, on a Sunday, my group, we were in the prison. I was not there that day, Nikoyi prison, when there was a jailbreak. They opened the prisoners to come for fellowship, and some of those criminals took advantage of it, and then, you know, broke, and there was a jailbreak. So, for security purpose, they now said, all these people, when they come to church, organize yourselves, and then, you know, come under one umbrella, and then known as something prison fellowship here in Lagos State. And then they made one Anglican pastor the leader for Kirikiri here. One Anglican parish at Kirikiri. So you must go there and receive recommendation before you come there. So when we got there, oh yeah, now give us our own. They say, Wapo, lie. Opportunity, what would they find? You will never be allowed to enter prison again. That is how we stop going to prisons in Lagos State. Because before you enter, where they permit. And the permit is coming from our enemy. So that you will know how the thing they start small. It was only after this church started now, then we now went as a bride assembly. And I made sure, said, they don't see me on my face, so because they know me. So we are no more going as West African Prison Outreach in Lagos. We now go as bride assembly. So we went, they got us the permit, got everything, and then we are now entering small. When they go in. And it will happen on a global level. Why I digress is to let you understand why I speak the way I speak. I know that one of these days, I will, if the Lord tarries, I will not have this freedom. But before then, you will have something to listen to in your room. You have something to listen to. So buy the tapes and keep them. Internet, they are the ones control. They will enter internet and wipe it off. Pyam! Get copies and keep them. Kai, before it happen, we don't go. Before it happen, we don't go. Hallelujah. If God allow it to happen, it means the last elect has had it. If not, he will not allow it to happen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The whole world was condemned to hell. We were separated from God. Sin separated man from God right from the Garden of Eden. And when God wanted to reconcile us back to himself, where did he do it? At the cross. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. At the cross there. Hallelujah. Something happened there at the cross, very monumental. That revelation makes us to know we are traveling on the right road. He told Israel, Moses, to build the tabernacle, the temple, and divided them into different courts, and kept a particular place where the glory of God, the Shekinah glory, dwelt, where the Ark of the Covenant kept, and where the presence of God was. Sinful man cannot behold God. You see him, you die. So that you will not die, he decided to make a veil and covered the Holy of Holies. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And there the glory of God dwell. But no man had access to go there. Only the high priests. Even after the purification process. And even as he's going there, he's still at a risk. Because if he behaves anyhow there, the angel will strike him. And so they made his dress. Hallelujah. And when he dies inside there, nobody can go inside there and remove his dead body. Therefore, the same God again made provision for his cloth, his garment, his gown. There was a rope around his waist. Tied around his waist were little bells. So that when he's there offering sacrifices on behalf of the people in the outer court, You can be hearing gli gli gli, that means he's still alive. Gli gli gli, that means if you don't hear gli 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 again, and he doesn't come out, there is no way you can go there and find out what happened. So, how will you bring him out? You will hold the rope and drag him out. Because no sinner, none of us, was qualified to go in there. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But a lot of people don't know that that veil, that glory of God that was in the Holy of Holies. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That was in the Holy of Holies church. That temple there, that glory there, was the same glory that came, left there, and came inside that body at water baptism. God dwelt in that man. Therefore, the body of Jesus Christ became the veil that veiled the Shekinah glory of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why he was telling everybody, see where you are to worship now. Because this is where God is. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father for worship except through me, because this is the address of God. He became the veil. Now he was hanging on the cross on Calvary. And a Roman soldier took a spear and tore the veil that covered the glory, Shekinah glory of God. Hallelujah. And as he was tearing him there, amen, the veil in the temple also tore from up down. Therefore, hallelujah, where we did not have access to before, hallelujah, everyone now, Jew, Gentile, prostitutes, drunkards, anybody can now have access. That's why he said we should now come boldly to the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the time of need.
Hallelujah. Verse 6, 7, 8 says, the bride has made herself ready.
The tearing of the body of Jesus Christ released the glory of God. To anyone that will put your faith on what happened on the cross on Calvary. It is that same glory that comes in a sinner now as the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We are carriers of that same glory. See it? That's why the Holy Ghost in Jesus Christ made him God. That's why the psalmist described the children of God that ye are gods. Can you see why we are gods now? I am not an ordinary person. Tell your neighbor now if you are. If you are an ordinary person, tell him. Me, I am born again. The Spirit of God dwells inside of me. I am not an ordinary person. That is achieved through the cross. So life was released from the cross. The life that was released with the breaking of the veil that covered Jesus, covered the glory of God. That life is eternal life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why the songwriter said, look and live, my brother. Look to Jesus now and live.
It's recorded in His word. Hallelujah. It is only that you look and live.
Life is offered unto you. Hallelujah. Eternal life as you shall. It's recorded in His word. Hallelujah. It is only that you look and live. Oh, look and live. In John 3 verse 14, he said, as Moses lifted the serpent in the wilderness, as, he referring us back to what happened in the book of Numbers. Hallelujah. That was the condition of the world. The children of Israel had committed sin. The principle is break the edge. What will happen? Sin is the breaking of the edge of God's protection. Yes, now, once you compromise the word of God, you are breaking God's edge of protection. Don't add and don't subtract. In the Garden of Eden, the serpent was looking for a way to enter that family. Hallelujah. But he cannot enter until the edge is broken. And the edge is, breaking the edge is adding to God's word or subtracting from God's word. William Brown said, that is the secret of death. That's the secret of death. To add to God's word or subtract from God's word is death. A serpent achieved it. He made sure first he broke the word of God. Did God say, ye shall not eat of every tree here? Yes, the woman said, yes. It doesn't matter. Oh, you don't know the interpretation. I was in this garden before you were created. I know God very well. He said, the Bible says he was very subtle. That is very intelligent and smart. And all his smartness is to make you open small road, let him enter. And the woman opened and he entered. And he brought death, condemned all of us. In the Garden of Eden, in the wilderness also, he gave them his laws. Keep these laws and nothing will touch you. But here they were again, doing all manner of things they were doing in the wilderness, and serpents were biting them. But the intercessor, Moses, a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, went to mediate, went to cry and intercede. God's mercy came down. It's okay. The only way to solve it, get a brazen serpent. Hang it on a pole. A serpent of brass. Hang it on a pole. If anyone is bitten by a snake, if he can run to that pole, he didn't say he should climb it. See how easy salvation is. Why is it difficult for somebody to give his life to Christ? Sweet-mouthed preachers can preach for somebody to go and empty his account, carry his car, carry his Isaac offering. I think that's how they call it. Is that Isaac? Isaac offering. Eh? There is a name. I heard something like that. There is Isaac offering. That is the best thing you ever have. Oh, the best thing I mean to you. He said, take it and bring it to the Lord. Amen. But they forgot that God did not collect Isaac from him. Eh? But did they collect your own from you? In their subtlety, with feared words, they make merchandise of you. That's what Peter said. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So easy. Just look up. Just look at that pole. Once you look up, there is something you will see there. What will you see hanging there? The snake that bites you, see it there. Once you see it, now you bite me. See you now. God has taken over hanging you up there. He said, you will live, you will not die. And in verse 14, John chapter 3, he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, he said, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. Amen. Just look up. Just look up. Just look up. Look up. When you look, what will you see? Looking up to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's why the songwriter said, at the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away.
It was there
by faith. I received my sight, and now I am happy
on the way.
Down at the cross, where my Savior died. Now we are proclaiming from sin. I cry.
There
to my heart
was the blood.
Singing glory to His name.
Glory to His name.
Glory to the name of the Lord. And that's why the last statement he made, because he is the author and the finisher. What was it concerning all the problem that separated man from God? At the cross he was hanging there. What did he say? It is finished. How can I leave this Jesus and go and join an occultic group? How can I leave this power that was released on the cross of Calvary and go and get a talisman from Babalawo? There is power, power, wonder working power in the blood,
the blood of the Lamb.
The Lamb.
There is power,
there is power,
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 power.
Power to make well.
Is the precious blood of the Lamb.
Power in the blood.
Power
to cast out devils.
Power
that broke every covenant.
In the blood.
Power that broke every curse. Power to prosper.
Power.
Oh yes.
Power. Wonder working.
Oh, in the precious blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Number two. From the cross there. Above. abundant life was released. What is the symbol from the cross? That Roman soldier took a spear, pierced his side. Two things came out. What was it? Water and blood. Not only water. John was saying, he said, not only water, but water and blood. What he was meaning there is, don't only say water. Always call the two together. Water and blood. Because the two signify something important for every believer. Water there signifies abundant life. Hallelujah. John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. Jesus Christ. He left Judea and departed again into Galilee, verse 4. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then coming he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, that's where I am going. If thou knowest the gift of God, oh, and who it is that said to thee, give me to drink, thou will have asked of him, and he will have given thee what? What? Living water. So that water that came out of his side signifies something. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Carnal interpretation. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water that you are drawing here from this well shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. The woman said unto him, sir, give me this water. Somebody say, give me this water. Give me this water. Water we are not going to thirst again. Give it to me. And that water is the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Listen, church. When you receive the Holy Ghost, amen, you have received abundant life. Prosperity is there. Wealth is there. Health is there. Everything that people are running up and down on earth is in there. Signified by that water. Then we have also the blood. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. People just come to Jesus Christ and they don't even know the significance of him being on earth. Because John chapter 5, read it from verse 39, read it up to verse 40. He says, search the scripture. Therein you think you have life. Hallelujah. And there are they that testify of me. He said, and you will not come to me that you may have life. Because he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. The blood. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The blood there is also signifying the sufferings of Christ. The suffering, listen to my English, the sufferings of Christ and the sufferings for Christ's sake. There is a suffering of Christ That is what he went through on the cross of Calvary to grant us freedom, to grant us eternal life, to grant us access to the throne of grace. He suffered on the cross of Calvary. But blood also came out of him. Hallelujah. Because that blood signifies the sufferings that we will also, his believers, his disciples, his followers, we will also, the sufferings we shall go through for his sake. For all them that shall live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Yes. Sufferings of Christ. Isaiah 53. He was bruised for our iniquity. Yes now. Hallelujah. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by those stripes, he received stripes. 39 stripes. That man suffered for doing nothing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. I love the scripture all of us quote in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might become rich. He took on poverty so that his children coming after him can be rich. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the richness there is both physical and spiritual. And so many of us preachers, we look at only 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. But there is also 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. He said, for he had made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Righteousness, holy living, flow from him. Wealth also flow from him. And we must balance the two. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, the sufferings for Christ's sake, we see that in Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, where he said, if any man come after me, if you want to follow him, what should you do? He said, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. My emphasis there is not sometimes. Every day. And follow me. And Matthew 19 and verse 29. Hallelujah. When Jesus Christ, the disciples asked him, we are forsaking all and followed him. What will be our reward? His answer. And everyone that has forsaken houses, brothers and sisters, and fathers and mothers, wife and children and land, for my name's sake. It has to be for his name's sake, not for your criminal life. There are some of us, we are paying for the things we have done. It's true. Praise God. There are people that run here and then they send me the right letter. Pastor, they drive me from the house because they say because I'm going to bride assembly. Therefore, my brother say I should not stay in his house again. And you think you are talking to me? Yes, now they drive you because you are coming to bride assembly. Yes, now your brother that you are living with has a choice for you. It's true. Hallelujah. Let me tell you. Every one of us, once you change your church, hallelujah, the first thing those who are going to protest will look at is to see whether your life has changed or not. There is nobody that is not happy, no father, no mother that is not happy that the child has changed since he started located. Even a friend. It will not separate you from a friend that is influencing you for good. So now you expect me to come and say, if they say you should not, you must come to Bride Assembly. I told somebody, I said a little child that come and say, my father said I should not come to Bride Assembly. I say, the Bible says you should obey your father. If your father says you should not come, don't come. It's true. A sister told me, my husband said I should not come to bride assembly anymore. He's been fighting me, no peace since I came. Because he's choosing and I'm coming to bride. I say I wanted to see the man. The two of them, I begged and collected his phone number, I called him. He was shocked I was calling. I said, come. When he sat down in my office with his wife, I told him, I don't belong to church in that scatter family. Sister, your husband has finances over your life, not your pastor. If you're a true Christian, obey him. Follow him to where he wants you to go. Praise the Lord. But you know, ironically, the man was shocked. After he left, the race finished. He tell and say, now this kind man be your pastor. He release her, or you'll be going to the church. It's true now. Praise the Lord. You are not to come to Pride Assembly. Come to Jesus Christ. Be a Christian. And you don't have to be in Pride Assembly to be a Christian. If it is the church you attend that makes you to be a Christian, the day that church does not exist again, you will not be a Christian. The day they post you from Lagos to Abuja, you will no longer be a Christian, because your faith, your Christian life is determined by the church you attend. No! Forget these political preachers. Be a Christian, not a church member. I don't know how to say it, though. I don't know how to say it, though. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But there is a group that once you take a decision for Christ, it's true. Expect problems. And God allows us to go through those problems. Because in going through those problems, our faith is strengthened. He designed it that way. He allows us to be tested. The reason he allows us to be tested, so that you can live a testimony, not only before God, but before all the men around you, that of a truth, you have made a decision and you are standing by it. Under any condition, I will serve this God. If you sack me from your work, I will serve this God. But I have tried to serve you honestly, diligently. But if it is because of my faith, you are now trying to trouble me. I leave the work for you. My God knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is to follow. That is it. That is the faith of a Christian. Every one of us, there are things we shall suffer. You will suffer rejection. You will suffer sometimes disappointment and frustration. Why? Because you have made a decision to serve God. And it will look as if, what happened? Why is God allowing me to go through this? You are not the first. Jesus Christ himself, the Father, forsook him so that he will go through the way it is written of him. And he shouted, my Father, why have thou forsaken me? Sometimes we cry like that. Yes, yet that same Jesus Christ has submitted himself totally to the will of God. Not my will, Lord, but thy will be done. If it is possible, Lord, let this cup of suffering that is coming, let it pass me by. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will. We're manifested to his pride.
19. Hallelujah. Verses 7 and 8 says, the bride has made herself ready.
Read the Bible so that you will know. When I came out of the prison, late 1990, a cousin of mine, a niece of mine, was waiting in Kaduna. She refused. She would not wait until they released me from the prison. And now I was released. She was getting married to a senior Air Force officer. I traveled that day in the hotel, lodged with my wife. I had this revelation. I saw a city in the sky. And I was telling everybody, I said, I saw this city. It's real. This city is real. This city, they say, New Jerusalem, is real. And suddenly it passed. I saw a cup from the sky. Come. I was telling everybody, see cup. Nobody was seeing it. I said, see cup. No hand hold him on a cup. And he came, stood under a tree. There was a bucket there, a drum. Water there, and then it hung there. And I went, I said, see cup hung there now. Nobody was seeing it until I went and I collected the cup. And I was showing, I said, see. I came out of that revelation, I was troubled because that is how God talks to me, and I knew He was telling me something. I searched the Bible and I looked at cup. I noticed that that cup was suffering. And I told my wife, I said, I don't know what the Lord is telling me. There is suffering ahead of me coming. And God showed me the city first. And He showed me, pointing people to the city, telling everybody, so this city is real. And then He showed me cup. I said, God is telling me, before we enter that city, I have some price to pay. There are some wahala we face. And so I prepared myself and got ready. And church, I suffer. It came to pass. I can't mention. Some of you are aware. I suffer. I'm telling you. That's why I understand. When people who were on before suddenly crash, when they come to me, I understand what you are going through. I was in charge of Air Force finance. So you know what it means. I didn't know people used to pray for money. Now here am I. And I say, I don't believe that the tithe of a church should belong to a pastor. I said, I don't believe that all this nonsense people do. Had they preach and ga. Satan went and closed all my businesses. I am not going to take a job. Whether you're not going to change this, your confession, what they make every time. One day, the thing hit me, I cry. I lock my room, I cry, finish. When I wipe my tears finish, I say, Satan, I know why you are attacking me. You think I will change my doctrine? I will die like this. I must go to that heaven. Then peace came upon me. I went out, I continued. I have taken Okada. I have taken Molue. Look, I know where I can use 5 naira and eat food and belly food. I know where to find them. Yes, I know all of them. I go look left, look right, and then sneak go there. I mean, give me something. Yes. And thank God I had a wife that was understanding enough. Blessed be the name of the Lord. May God give you a good wife. To know how to stay with you when the going is on. And to stay with you when everything is close. So cup there. Hallelujah. It's a symbol of suffering. I know I am telling somebody here something you have seen before. In a revelation. Now Allah. All that will live godly in Christ. Anything you stand for righteousness. Satan will come and tempt you there. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. 2 years, I could not pay my house rent and I was pastoring this church. 2 years, that woman carried my eyes, see Pepe. 5:30 a.m. You say you be pastor. Which kind of your own pastor, they different? Pay me my money. 250,000 naira for 2 years. 500,000 naira. I don't know if he paid for 2 years. And I will look at her. I say, Mommy, say, this is my condition go change. No worry. He said, after some time, the Holy Ghost will go and touch her. She will call me again. You see, why I'm not hard on you is, I don't know tomorrow. I don't know why you are going through what you are going through now. But find me something. Find me something. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And then one church member came to my house to collect a document as early as 6 o'clock in the morning and met my landlady raking. And then he said, what happened? I said, oh, that's why. He said, Daddy, what? I said, what happened? Now? Then he came here and called the deacon. Deacon, okay? Deacon, okay? Where are you there? Where are you there? Where are you there? Deacon, okay? Oh, hey. You know the story. He was our head deacon that time. And they came and he was fighting you. And then they dragged him to my office. He said, how can you people say you are deacon here? The pastor is suffering house rent. You people cannot pay. And then the deacon came to my office and said, but pastor, you didn't tell us. And I told him, tell you what. Now let me get a house rent problem for the church. We plenty. Hallelujah. I told them, I said, I know what I am going through. I know what I am going through. I have friends that will take 1 million and dash me and it will mean nothing to them. But they will look at me like this. What is that? And I said, the pastor now. I said, that's what I do. That is the period they called me. I was building a nightclub in Jos. In 1980s, late 80s, I just finished everything. I was a club guy. I was a DJ. A popular one in Lagos here. And so I had that passion and I traveled to America, got an architectural drawing of one of the best nightclubs in America. They call it Club Newark, Club America, in the city of Newark. And then I brought it here, built it in John. Beautiful edifice. I just finished remaining the finishing when they grabbed me. Cut up! Go enter Ikoyi prison. My friends who were still in the military, 6 of them, we belong to a group like that, called me in Abuja. We had a meeting that they have decided to task themselves 1 million to finish it. This is in 1990. I should go and finish the club. You see how Satan works. Now I'm born again, though. She shall not get. Then they task themselves 1 million. How many of them? They were only representing the group. All our friends said they promised 1 million. And I finished the club. I said, but I'm a pastor now. I'm born again. I'm a Christian. They said, no. We know now. We know you say you're a Christian now. All we said, you can bring tracts. During the nightclub, you'll be sharing tracts there. Is that not a beautiful idea for a hungry man? I said, but what do you people want to me? They said, all they want is because, you know, you are popular. If everybody knows that this is your club, people will be coming. We just want you identify with the club. For inside my heart, as they say, see, devils, devil, all of them are devil. So I said, thank you very much. I want to confirm. Are you people concerned about my welfare now that I know they are Mongoda again? Or it's just that club you people are interested in. Give me, what can I find when I say 1 million? Honestly, my life will change forever. For that club, I've turned my back away from clubbing. I remember, this one stand up, abuse me. Waka go enter moto go. This one stand up, abuse me. You just die, poor man, useless man. So, this one abuse, you know how we abuse ourselves. useless man, so. Now so they take off. Transport for me to come back from Abuja to Lagos. Nobody give me. I enter nice bus with a bag attachment. Now I sit down. From Abuja to Lagos, attachment. Why? Because I have made up my mind to serve the Lord. I don't know what is your own, but I'm telling you, if you have made up your mind to serve God, you must leave a testimony behind. That is the truth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So I knew that my help cannot come from there. I decided to stay with my God. Because I know He will make a way where there is no way. Glory be to God. Now part of the sufferings we have when we become Christians. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. It's a symbol. The cross, therefore, is a symbol of a sacrificial lifestyle. Inconveniencing yourself for the gospel's sake. Making sacrifice. Not because it is convenient for you, but because you know better. It's a symbol. It's part of our Christian journey. And I keep saying it, that the cross of Jesus Christ, the crucifix that people hang, the crucifix that people hang does not symbolize what the true cross is. The idea of making crucifix with gold and silver, na lie. It does not tell us the story of the true cross. The cross of Jesus Christ was not beautiful. The cross of Jesus Christ was not painted with gold. The cross of Jesus Christ was never, it was not even polished. It was two logs of wood. Cut and put like that. Raw. I'm telling you. Because I remember it was a symbol of shame. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. It was a symbol of shame. On the far away cross. The writer called it the old rugged cross. 167. 167. On the old rugged cross. So despised by the world. Has a wondrous attraction for me. Oh, for the dear Lamb of God, let His glory abode to bear into dark Calvary. Oh, though I cherish the old rugged cross, in my trust at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, so I cherish the old rugged cross. Can we stand up now?
In the troubles at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross. Change it someday, and change it someday for a crown.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That cross was not a beautiful cross. But blessed be the name of the Lord. Stay with the cross. Stay by the cross. Stay at the cross. Hallelujah. Don't stay away from it. That is where God made a way of escape for us. It's a symbol of our faith. And you see so many people have different way of trying to identify with the cross. But look at their cross. By the way they design their cross, you will know they are not part of the cross. Some designing and put something on top like that. You know? put something like a head on top and put something like that. Church, a preacher was telling me, brought my attention to something. He said, that cross that they show, the picture of Jesus Christ hanging on the cross with a cloth around his loins. He said, it's not a true picture. These wicked Jews and wicked Romans, he hung there naked. That is what makes it shameful. It's the most disgraceful death any human being will have in the Roman Empire. It's reserved for serious criminals. And they took somebody who committed no sin and gave him that shameful death. Nailed him on the cross on Calvary like that. Put him to such a shame for the whole world to see. Ha! Yet it is the symbol of our faith. You catch that picture, it will help you to love him better. That's why that songwriter says, if you know him better, you will serve him better, you will love him better, and you will lift him higher,
Jesus, higher,
lift him
higher,
and to lift him higher, hallelujah, to lift him higher, amen, is to live a life that glorifies his name, not to live a life that puts him to shame. No, it's true. He can't suffer shame a second time again now. How can I know these things that I, Pastor Moses, know? I didn't know it to teach you. I know it so that I will be a better Christian. It's true. After all, nobody is going to heaven because he was a minister of God. None of us is going to heaven because we are ministers. If we know it, then you will take heed. I'm telling you, church, hallelujah. How many people want to go to heaven? Eternal. Say it. I want to live eternal.
God save my soul.
God save my soul.
I want to live eternal life.
I want to live eternal life.
God save my soul.
Oh, eternal.
Eternal life.
Eternal.
Eternal life.
Oh, I
want to live eternal life. God save my soul. God save my soul.
May God grant your heart desire in the name of Jesus.